Pastor Jeremy asked me to share, I do want to say that I am not a great teacher or a preacher or anything like that. I'm just a girl that loves Jesus, and I'm trying and seeking to know him with you. And the things I'm sharing today are just an area of personal searching in the scriptures to know the Lord, and just ask you to take it to the Lord and let the word of God speak to your heart. That's what's important. I don't listen to me in that sense. Let the word of the Lord speak to you and minister as God would. I'm going to be looking at some of the scriptures that Rayfield just read, starting in that chapter of Luke, chapter 15, and I just want to point out a few things. And so we have Jesus here in chapter 15 of Luke, and he's sharing this parable, and this parable talks about things that are lost. So looking at some of the verses that were just read, beginning with verse 4, we start with the lost sheep. And I guess we could title this portion of this sharing, Lost Things. What man of you, versus verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, he rejoices. He comes home, he calls his friends and his neighbors, and he says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And this is, like I said, this is just a personal area where I'm meditating and seeking the Lord. Really, I'm just saying, God, what are you trying to say in these verses to me? And I'm not sure I'm really hearing everything, so we're just listening to the Lord together right now. But one of the impressions that I got was that feeling of when you really lose something that you love. Okay, we could start on a lower level. Let's start with our mobile phones. How many people have ever lost their mobile phone and they cannot find it? And let's just say it's one of those days where, like, there's an emergency. You're supposed to be the person people contact when the emergency happens. You don't know where your phone is. You know that lives are on the, you know. And you're looking everywhere in the house. You are sweating. You are feeling guilty. Your blood pressure is up. Okay. When you find the mobile phone underneath your coat on the shelf, wherever it is, there is a great rejoicing. Can anyone relate to that feeling? Okay, let's think about when we lose the keys to the house. It's raining outside. Maybe there's children in the car. Maybe there's groceries in the car. Maybe the dog is barking. I don't know. Maybe you left the stove on and you can't get in. So you're looking everywhere for the door keys, right? You find them in the puddle by the door of the car where you drop them when you open the door. When you find those keys, there is a great rejoicing. In my own heart, I feel a sense of relief, but the sense of joy, the sense of now life can continue, you know? And that's just one of the smaller things. But when I was thinking about this first part of the parable, remember Jesus is just trying to talk to guys. I mean, he's in Luke 15 here, Jesus is hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. And he's trying to speak in a way that will reach their hearts, you know, that will communicate to them, which I love that about Jesus. You know, he's not trying to be a deep spiritual person. He's trying to reach people because he loves them. And I love that about Jesus. So he's trying to talk in a way that they can understand. And so he brings up sheep, which there was lots and lots of shepherds in Ireland, I mean in Jerusalem. And they loved their sheep. And you know, I know that there's a lot that the Lord has shared and that I've heard shared in these verses that are beautiful and from the Lord. And so in no way is this the only interpretation or even a true interpretation of this. You have to ask the Lord. These are just thoughts that I'm considering right now. But all 99, all 100 of those sheep were really loved by the shepherd. Another example could be a mom who's got a bunch of kids. I mean, if you have 2 children or 10 children, you'll love all of them. They're all precious to you because they're your children. Or they're your sheep. They're your whatever, you know, that they're all precious. And to lose just one of something that precious to you, I mean, it affects you, you know. Because someone could say to a mom, if one of her children went missing, you've got 9 more. Don't worry about it. What's one lost child when you've got 9 more? Just 9's a good number. You know, don't worry about it. And the mother would be, what, inconsolable. I love that child as much as if it was my only. I love all of them that way. You know, but Jesus didn't start with children. He started with a sheep. And he said, listen, he may have had 100 sheep, but every single one of them meant something to his heart. And to lose just one, knowing the 99 were right there where they meant to be, that one missing one affected the shepherd. And it caused him to go out, just like we do with our mobile phone or our car keys, but even more so than that, and search to find him. So much so that when that lost sheep was found, just the heart of the shepherd just threw a party, just had to let everybody know. You know, maybe we do a group text. I found the sheep. Let's have a barbecue. You know, let's rejoice. I feel so much relief and joy that a sheep is found. You know, that's what was happening in the heart of that person. And the next part of the parable is Jesus keeps talking. He starts bringing another picture of losing something. It starts in verse 8. It's the lost coin. And he says, there's a woman that had 10 pieces of silver. But what if she lost just one piece of silver? Does not she light a lamp and sweep through the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors and says, rejoice with me, I found the piece of silver that I had lost. So, you know, she has 10 pieces of silver, but she loses one. Once again, someone could say, isn't it enough to just have 9 more pieces? But there's a treasure involved in this. And I think in my heart, the thought I was thinking was, man, that was her treasure. You know, maybe saying 10 pieces of silver makes it just sound like money. And in a certain sense, that is where many people's treasure is, their money. But Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So in a certain sense, you can think the thing that this woman treasured, she lost. She lost just a part of it, but she lost her treasure. And it affected her so much that she couldn't just go take a nap and say, I'm tired, I lost part of my treasure, but I need to take a nap, I'll just sleep. Have you ever lost something so precious to you, that was a treasure to you, that you couldn't sleep, you couldn't eat, you couldn't go back to work until you searched everywhere? You know, something inside of us goes, I can't just go back to life as normal, having lost my treasure. I have to stop everything and find my treasure. And you know, you think, okay, I'm going to go to sleep, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to go eat. But when you really, really treasure something, the reason you go to work is for the treasure. The reason you sleep is to have strength for the treasure. You know, I mean, those things serve where your heart's at. Your job isn't your treasure. The family that you're serving is the treasure. The house you clean isn't the treasure. It's the place where, you know, it's serve. Those things serve where your heart is. And so those things stop until that treasure is found. And when the treasure is found, Jesus said, again, this woman, she calls all her friends. She says, we need to rejoice. My treasure is found. It's found. There's joy in her heart. You know, I think sometimes I miss that when I search the scriptures. I just hear a teaching instead of realizing the heart issues behind it and feeling what God must feel in certain things and what God can bring to my heart in certain ways of knowing him. And so that was just affecting me in that verse. But I realized as I was reading through those verses that the lost things did not stop with the sheep and with the coin. That this parable continued. Jesus kept talking to them about lost things. And he continues in verse 11. And in my Bible, it's the caption over this verse is the lost son. The lost son. How much more deep is it to the heart of a father to lose his son? We can relate to losing our car keys. We can relate to losing our mobile phone. We can relate to our pet running away and breaks our heart. We can relate as mothers, maybe fathers, when our child is lost in the supermarket or at the playground and we can't find them and we feel this panic rising. Oh my gosh, my child, where's my child? We can feel all that. But can we really know what God felt when he lost his son? What God the Father felt when he lost his son? His treasure. His only begotten son. In the Gospel of John, it says, my beloved son, in whom all my pleasure lies. The son of my love is a translation in the book of Colossians. The son of his love. His beloved son, in whom all his pleasure lies. Him who was with him from the beginning, and daily his delight. Proverbs. The son that was in the bosom of the Father, that came from the bosom of the Father. That's what it says in John chapter 1 and verse 1. You know, I just was sitting on the airplane and the Holy Spirit came to my heart and he said, have you ever really considered what the Father felt when he lost his son on the cross? And I just kind of said to the Holy Spirit, never did. And I said to the Lord, you know, I only thought about what I gained at the cross. I never thought about what you lost as a father who loves his son and only had one. He didn't have 99 sons or 10 sons. He had one son, his only begotten son, his beloved, the one who was with him from eternity past. And I think, in a very real way, he lost his son. You know, Abraham was told to put in Isaac. We know that story in Genesis, when Abraham was going to slay his son Isaac, and then God provided a ram in the thicket, and he never had to go through with it. But God the Father went through with it. He went through with it. He went through with it. He saw his son be crucified by wicked hands. And I think sometimes in my heart I've always thought, well, you're God, you can handle it. And I think that's true. But I also think that God has a heart and that he suffered and he felt that loss of his son. He felt that loss of his son. And I'd never had looked at the progression in the scriptures leading up to the story of the prodigal son. I'd never noticed that there were two other examples of losing something before the prodigal story, where a father lost his son. And in noticing that, I realized, oh my, the father lost his beloved and only begotten son at Calvary. But in all the other stories, the story with the sheep and the story with the coin, everybody searched and searched and searched and eventually found their treasure. Is it not true that the shepherd searched and searched and searched and found the sheep that was lost? And having found the sheep, brought him back and rejoiced with his friends. Likewise with the woman who lost the coin. Did she not search and search and search and search, finding it eventually, throw a party with her friends and rejoice? And yet this father lost his son, our Father, our Heavenly Father, lost his son. But where is it that he searches and searches and searches and searches? And when is it that he finds and finds? When is that moment when he finds the lost son? And what is the real reason that his joy is so great when that happens that he throws a feast. Now, in the parable of the prodigal son, I understand that it's when the prodigal comes home, and you know, we know the story. We're all well acquainted with that parable. But it's a parable, and a parable means it's just a story. It's not the exact it's not the exact interpretation. It's a story to help us understand what the real is. But what's the reality behind that parable? What's the real story of God, the real Father? And Jesus, his real son, who was slain on a tree and crucified and lost. He said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" He said that on the cross. There was that separation that happened, and that had never happened between the Father and the Son. So that's the real lost son, and that's the real Father losing that son. So the question remains, where is the real finding of the Son? Where is the real finding of the lost Son? And that's when the scripture in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27 came to my heart. It's a scripture that Paul shared with the Gentile church in Colossae at his time. It was a revolutionary scripture because these Gentiles were never meant to participate of this treasure of Christ in such deep, deep personal manner. So for Paul to say this to the Gentiles was incredible. He says to them, "Christ in you is the hope of glory." Christ in you, not taught to you, not participate in the traditions. Christ living in you is the hope of glory. But the thought came, whose hope is it? I mean, yes, it's the Gentiles' hope. Yes, it's my hope. But it's not my glory. It's not the Gentiles' glory. It's the glory of God that we're going for here. We're wanting God to be glorified, not Kelly or the Gentiles. God! It's the hope of the Father's glory. Christ, another name for his Son. The Son in us is the hope of the Father being glorified. Thou hast glorified, Father, I have glorified thee. Thou hast glorified me. The Son always glorified the Father. Christ in us is the hope of the Father being glorified. And I thought to myself, and I think the Spirit shared, the Father finds the Son he lost on the cross inside of you and me, inside of us. He finds the Jesus that he sowed on Calvary like a seed in the ground, hoping to get a harvest of many sons. Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in me, Christ in us, in that death. So he lost him at the cross. But he knew eventually one day people would let that son come into their hearts. And he would find Jesus. He would find his son in everybody who let Jesus live in their heart. And that would be such an amazing thing. So that can be cute in our heads, you know what I'm saying? But when you think of that from the Father's view, a bereaved father who lost his son and could not find him. And then all of a sudden, he sees a person, not just a person, a Christian, not just a Christian, somebody who has that same son that was always with him from the beginning, that same son that he's always loved and known, living in their heart. And from a long way away, it's in the prodigal son story, the father sees that son coming. In that person, he goes, "That's the son I lost on the cross. That's my son. Jesus is in that person, and he's living in that person." And they're coming back to the Father. They're coming back into that relationship that my son always had with me. They're coming to the Father. Jesus is in them, and he's coming to the Father through them. And they're, "I know you. I know that face. I know that nature. I know that Jesus from a long way off," the Father would say. Come home. Come home. Come home. and let us rejoice. What does that mean, come home? Does that mean that someone got born again and he sees someone that's saved? I believe in this story, he's recognizing his son in somebody. I think Colossians will help us look. Let's just go to Colossians really quick. Chapter 3 and verse 13 through 11. It shares, and we won't go much longer, but I just want to use the scripture to define what that son looks like when he's living in a person. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against anyone else, forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Put on love. So the son that the father has always known, he recognizes him in you and me by the attitudes and the nature and the kind of life that Jesus is in us. And he sees that life coming even from a long way off, even when there's things in our lives where we know we cannot forgive, we know we're struggling, but Jesus is in there, and that life is beginning to live. And the Father sees his son, and the Father saw the son that he lost in you and me. And even from a long way off, he rejoices. How wonderful would it be that we could bring back to the Father the son he lost? How wonderful to comfort him, to bring him joy after all he's given for us. Amen. Gave his only son. I think the verses in this parable kind of share it beautifully. It's chapter 15 of Luke, where we've been reading, and it's verse 24. For this my son was dead, but now he's alive again. This my son, he was lost, but now he is found. Jesus gave his life unto death at the cross, but he lives in us now. He is alive in us now. Jesus, God's son, was lost at the cross, but he's found in us today, found by the Father. And there is such a joy in God's heart to see Jesus living in us. There is such a rejoicing for him to find that one he loves so much. Christ in us, the hope of glory, living in us. And I believe the heart of the Father does long for his son in us. Lord, we just thank you for sending your son, your only son, the son that you love. Thank you for losing him even unto the death of the cross. Thank you for going through the things that you went through so that you could find Jesus in us today, so that you could rejoice over that son being within us, and the great fellowship and the great feast and the joy and the songs and the rejoicing that comes to you and to all of us as we allow that son to live. Father, we thank you each day is a new day to bring you, Jesus, to bless your heart, to say thank you in 100 different ways by simply allowing him to live through us. Father, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for the cross. And thank you for Christ in each one of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name.